And now, Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Beattie. And yes, welcome to another edition of the best political podcast in Zimbabwe.
That's right. That's right. Always on the ball with the political issues. It's an exciting time as we head towards the election. So much going on. What's the day today? Today is the 4th of April. It's my birthday tomorrow, actually. Yeah. So.
Happy birthday in advance, and many more to you.
Thank you. Thank you, comrade. I'm still, I'm going to be what, 28, so still 12 years shy of becoming eligible for the presidency.
But you're well on your way to being there.
Well on my way.
You're building a platform for your presidential campaign.
Still a youth. Still a youth. I'll probably be a youth until... How old is Pupurai Tokarebi? 57.
He's older than the current president of Botswana.
So I've still got about 30 years of youthdom in ZANU-PF.
Of youthiness.
Yes, he's older than the president of Botswana, which is crazy. Costa Rica president is 38, the new president. He wouldn't even be allowed to run in Zimbabwe, according to our constitution. So, interesting times. Today on the show, what do we have? We've got Povo, new political parties. It's not a
party. You said political what?
But new... Slip of the tongue. It's not a party. It's a coalition of independents. We'll get into that, though. And we have our president is in China. This is outside Davos. This is his first state visit outside of Africa, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, actually, it is the first state visit outside of Africa. And then we will discuss primary elections. There's a heated one right now. Harare West, Jesima Jome, and
Joanna Mamumbe or something. I should really find out her name, to be fair.
I was about to say, you're going to get trashed for mispronunciations. I got trashed.
No, that wasn't mispronunciation. I actually just didn't remember his name, to be fair. The Mudende what?
Mudenda.
You see, I just don't know the name, not necessarily the pronunciation. Joanna Ruembo Mamombe is the lady, young battler, revolutionary comrade who's challenging Honorable Jesima Jome.
Right. Okay. So let's kick off with the coalition of independents political party called Povo. I'm going to call it political party.
Yeah, if it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck and tastes like a duck, Chango Brewa said it's a duck.
But yeah, you were saying, sorry.
Yeah, Pastor Evan and 11 other independent candidates, other aspiring councillors, have formed Povo, the People's Own Voice, which is a coalition of independents, and they'll be contesting in their individual wards. They had their launch in Harare on, when was it, the 1st of April?
Thursday, so it must have been the 29th of April, of March, sorry, the 29th of March.
So, yeah, did you watch the stream of the launch?
I did watch a bit of the stream of the launch on Kudam Sasiwa's Facebook until he shut it down because his battery died. Quite interesting. It was a very, very well put together event. Let me start off there.
It had stages like unplugged.
There's actually a stage at the venue, so they didn't have to hire a stage. The venue, the venue.
But the LED panels is what they didn't have to hire.
So the panels. I mean, it was very nice, very well put together. Not well attended. As far as I saw from some of the pictures, but again, you know, it's a new outfit launching off social media. I don't think they got the word, wide enough. But yeah, it's. I'm interested to know a few things. So as you said, Pastor E and 11 and 10 other people, some of them you might know, Marshall Shonio is one of them. Dudu Nyirongo is another. I'm going to have to look for all the names, but Henry Mnangagwa-Tiré, some of these people have been part of this flag. So this is this flag moving into the political space from the realm of activism. And basically, they've gone for councillor spots, you know, disgruntled with the way the city is being run. Obviously, there's, you know, lots of problems with the city of Harare. Water, refuse collection, potholes, corruption in the city council, the parceling out of land, so many things. And so they've decided that they want to take on the current or whoever wants to run for council and go in there and make sure that the council is run effectively. What do you think of their chances?
It's a mixed bag. I think that in Mount Pleasant, Pastor Evan is might get lucky, because if people are already voting for an independent candidate, he'll definitely benefit from that based off the work that Fadzi's done in a yellow campaign. And that campaign is long established and quite active on the ground. So if people are going to vote down the ballot, I'm pretty sure Pastor Evan will benefit from that. But I'm still inclined to believe that party politics will take it at the end of the day. And as visible as some of these candidates are on social media, I am not certain about their impact on the ground, particularly 3 months before the election or 4 months before an election.
Yeah, I mean, I hold some of the same reservations. I'll start off by saying that we definitely need a shake-up in council, and their entry into the political space is certainly welcome, especially if they're dedicated to making the change and you know, impacting council in a positive way. I'd suggest everyone go and check out this week's point of view, Zororo Makamba's point of view, because he speaks about the issues that are within council in terms of how they constituted, the fact that, you know, the lack of professionals within council to run some of the committees. So check that out. It's very informative and helpful to understand the processes of council. But in terms of them winning, I mean, you know, party politics really holds the day. And MDC, for example, as an example, is one of its strength is in Harare. And I don't know if people would be willing to not vote down the ballot, you know what I mean, in terms of voting for MDC president, MDC MP, and then voting for an independent councillor. I haven't seen this, you know, matrix work anyway, so I don't have much faith in that. But again, you know, Pastor Evans got the brand recognition. He's been out there on the ground. He's built a name for himself. I think he might be able to pull it off.
He's been out on the ground or on the
in social media. But I mean, he's featured. He did go attend that that he was arrested that one time at UZ.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, you're right.
So I mean, he's gone around. There was also the time he made the videos going around the when there were fuel queues, or there was, you know, all of those things happening. So he's definitely has a bigger social media presence, I think, than he does an on the ground presence. But I think he can launch off his brand recognition. People actually know who he is. The rest of them, it's going to be on the ground work. I don't know how impactful it's going to be, especially once the mainstream political parties start campaigning. Right now, they've got a bit of time because, you know, political parties are still trying to handle their primaries and all of that. But once they're facing that competition from the mainstream, it's going to be interesting to see how effective they are. They've said they want to have candidates in all 43 wards in Harare.
46.
Is it 46, sorry, wards in Harare,
yeah.
Which is, essentially what they want. It's ambitious, but essentially what they want is they need at least 24 wards or seats so that they can elect a mayor from amongst themselves.
And
so,
we assume their spokesperson, Pastor Evan, will be their mayoral candidate.
Yeah, their mayoral candidate. It's interesting. Now, this is where I call it a political party because, I mean, the launch was, the branding is all the same for all the candidates. The messaging seems to be all the same for all the candidates. I'm assuming that the pool of finances they have is, you know, or they're all
the same.
They're all dipping into one pool. They seem to share a similar ideology. Pastor Ivan was their spokesperson. He came up and he gave, you know, the statement, what they stand for, and they all seem to have the same values and stand for the same things. So, you know, it's a political party all in everything but name. And I'm also curious to know about their finances, because
where's the money coming from?
Where is the money coming from? You know, who's behind it? Who's backing it? Because the launch showed that they certainly do have a pool that of money that they're pulling from, and you know, whatever interests they might be behind that. But all the best to them. I definitely think that, you know, competition is a healthy thing.
It's interesting though about. Because I just wanted to interrogate a little bit why they would be so adamant as to avoid the party tag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a situation they're avoiding the party tag simply because they want to speak out against party politics, but enjoy the same benefits of having a grouping of like-minded individuals who have a common political cause,
mm-hmm.
Which is what I would ultimately boil down a party to. I think it's duplicitous for me in that way, is that the desire to remain a coalition of independence or to be a coalition of independence is not driven by any actual ideological or real honest desire to be independent from each other, because if they wanted, they would have then formed this coalition when it came time to vote and a candidate in place. That's when you then have a coalition of independence. You just run your own race as you see fit, and then when you get in, that's when you come together to choose your council, your council candidate. But the fact that essentially they already have a council mayoral candidate, to me, shows that it's only for politicking purposes that they are really stressing that they're independent even within their own coalition. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean it they've done nothing to illustrate their independence. You know, everything about them shows them to be a political party, and I completely agree that, you know, they are, it's a strategy that they are trying to employ. And one of the things, actually, one of the questions is we have other independent candidates who are running for council who announced well before them. And I wonder if any of them were approached to join, you know, this coalition of independent candidates. I do know, one of them, Matipedza Karase, in Ward 8, I think, or Ward 9, Ward 8 or Ward 9. Ward 8, where Henry Mnangagwa is running, was saying, well, you know, I launched my campaign some time ago. I wasn't invited to this coalition. So what makes it a coalition? We're all running for the same cause. I thought we were all on the same side. This is what he was basically alluding to. He asked if Kelvin Motsi, he's another independent candidate running. I'm not sure what the ward is, but I do know that it covers Helensvale and I think parts of Borrowdale and Borrowdale Brook up there. And he's asking why he wasn't invited. There's also Kudzai Mbaiwa, who's running in Ward 6, which is Avenues and City Centre. And she wasn't part of this coalition of independent candidates. So how did they come together, I think, is one of the questions. You know, how were these people brought together? Were the others who are already independent candidates and who announced approached? If they have intentions to run in all 46 wards, are they also going to field in those where other independent candidates are already, you know,
they already, fielded? They already,
well, I mean,
have.
They already have, what, yeah.
Ward 16... Mulberane, where I live, Peter Manjore is an independent candidate. He's an independent councillor. He didn't come in on an MDC ticket. He actually won a by-election, I think, in 2014 or 2015.
Okay.
So there's already an independent councillor there, but that's where Nyasha Grace Magumisi, I think, one of their councillors, is running. Okay. So it's really not about... And that's why I'm saying it's not about... They are not afraid of running against other independents, other true independent candidates.
Yeah.
Look, it's we can move on from it, because it's obviously a developing story. But I think it's disappointing. For me, at least, I'm not too worried. I'm happy that they're on the scene. I just disagree with the way they came on the scene. I feel particularly for Fadzi's campaign, because a lot of these people, particularly in the This Flag sector, were some of the forefront who were speaking about someone using activism to launch a political career. and how much, if people remember when Fadzi initially launched, how much... backlash you got from one with This Flag online about oh, Wakadishandisa or whatever like that. So I think this is the same way they're trying to keep their This Flag constituents on side by saying we're not a political party.
Speaking of flags, actually, I wonder what the regulations are in terms of using, you know, the flag for political campaigns or in political in politics, because now Pastor Ivan is a politician.
We are going to come for him like a politician.
But yeah, but is he allowed to be wearing the flag and carrying it around the way that he used to before? I'm not sure what
at his launch he wasn't carrying
it. He was flag. Actually, it was tied around his waist.
Or was it? I didn't see.
Or in his back pocket or something.
Like gang colors. Gang.
So I just wonder what the laws are around that. And which then brings into question the issue of the scarf. Because, obviously at national events where the president is going, the scarf is fine. But if he then attends political rallies in the name of ZANU-PF, since it is a scarf bearing the national colors of the flag, which he has said... he's on record as saying he wears it because it is the flag, it symbolizes Zimbabwe and everything. Is that something that can be carried to political spaces or political rallies and partisan political spaces is the word I was looking for, or phrase rather. So that's just an interesting aspect that I'm wondering about. I asked Magaisa about it, he didn't respond. We'll probably have to find out from other...
He's busy fighting the trolls.
Legal heads, yeah.
Namatigari. Namatigari na alinaka. Those grown men need to relax.
There's actually... The trolls on social media have really become something.
It's tiring, man. I'm actually tired. It's tiring. It's better to talk to ne unplugged than to continue speaking about politics, because it's just so
it's toxic. That's what
so
it is.
Toxic.
It's toxic. And it's a lot of and it's a lot of fiction and not enough fact. It's strange that the militancy of certain people and how the conversation is not even it's not constructive. It seems just, you know, people just want to hammer and get their point across and attack all the time that you don't even build something where you can walk away and say, I've learned something new, or I feel that this was beneficial, or I understand where people are coming from. None of that. But yeah, off to China.
Off to China we go.
Yeah, he's closer to you, the president, than he is to us.
Yeah. He's visiting our all-weather friend, the Chinese. And yeah, he's gotten a full state welcome by Xi Jinping. And they've basically, you know, done the usual, proclaimed the new chapter between China-Zimbabwe relations, you know, made commitments to financing all the promised loans, etc., etc., etc. I don't know if there's anything that stood out from you about this visit in terms of particular or actionable specifics that are coming out of Beijing at the moment, but my understanding is, you know, they've made all the same promises that have been there even under Mugabe, and so
I think what this trip was all about was obviously a recommitment. It's no secret that China's relationship with Zimbabwe, especially under the, you know, the tail end of Mugabe's reign, was waning, particularly because, you know, they were worried about what was going to happen after he left. Now you have a new leader. He's been there before. And I think this is somebody that they've wanted to do business with. And so I think that this was just a recommitment of some of the things that have already been on the table, more in terms of strategy of what's going to happen next. China's...
But also in terms of, I think, in terms of a bit of courtship, because we can't underlie how much of a darling of the West in relative terms that Emerson is, particularly of London. So it's Xi Jinping has not been afraid to reinforce China's influence across the world, and I think that bringing Emerson so quickly and inviting him so soon to Beijing is probably because they're feeling a little bit of heat from the British on the world thing, and they're just reaffirming their commitment and making sure that they are the preeminent friend, I guess, or partner of first choice.
I mean, what it is that we just as a nation or the government just needs to take advantage of whatever positions that they're in, and there needs to actually be tangibles that come out of these deals. I mean, we've heard the figures. I think there was 500 million or 520. I don't know, all sorts of numbers being thrown around.
A joke that's going around on Facebook.
But so these things we've all heard them before, but it now comes to what is actually going to be on the ground, or what the situation is going to be on the ground. And obviously, you know, Zimbabwe is trying to mend relations with so many different countries, the West and the East. And, you know, there can be room to maneuver and position yourself better. So I think we should take advantage of whatever assistance we can get, but also, you know, not sell the country, so to speak.
But that's what I was about to get into. I find it very interesting that at least, I mean, maybe we would never hear the reports, but there was a big song and dance made about this list of externalizers, and a large proportion of those were Chinese nationals.
Yep.
And you would think any president who is serious about the financial or the economic stability of his country would bring some of these concerns up to Xi Jinping and say, well, you're more than happy to do business in our country, but your people are breaking our laws. And, you know, from the few reports and articles I've seen, there's been not a single peep about that. So I don't know if it's behind closed doors, but I doubted very much that he would have had the shots, the balls to say to Xi Jinping,
yeah, well, that's definitely, you know, a diplomatic issue that we hope that they raise. But obviously, I doubt that such a conversation was had, if at all. But if it was, I don't think it was, you know, brought as seriously as it perhaps should have been. But it's also aspects, again, that, you know, we blame the media for not investigating certain things. This list came out, and there really hasn't been much in terms of investigation that I've seen on this list since it came out. I mean, it was in the paper that day, but, or the days after, there was, you know, brief talk about CD3, CD1 forms that weren't returned, and then that was it. And there really is a lot more to that story than we've been told or we know, and there's room for investigation. Hopefully there's things happening behind the scenes. Investigations do take a while, but again, it's something that I doubt. So yeah, the relationship with China is an interesting one. We'll see how it develops. The Chinese, I'm sure they prefer Emerson to Robert,
do you subscribe to that conspiracy theory? Full speculation here, people. Conspiracy theory alert ahead, that the final blessing for the coup from Beijing, or final word of support, came as a result of the reorganizations in Marange, of the consolidation of all the diamond claims, and particularly Anjin. I'm not sure if it's Anjin. Yeah, I think it is Anjin, the Chinese one, into one company. And that was what led Robert to fall extremely out of favor with Beijing. Have you heard about that?
I heard they were upset about, you know, him saying that they stole 15 billion worth of diamonds from Zimbabwe. So I could see some potential truth in these rumors, but I don't think that. But I question.
Wasn't the good general was coming from Beijing when he came to to launch his
his coup, not a coup.
But
the thing is,
go and seize the pay.
I don't know, man. Like I think that, you know, China's a huge country with a huge economy. For them to be so strategic about their foreign affairs in Zimbabwe, which really, in terms of returns, I don't think has been high on their list in comparison to other African countries and the investments that they've made elsewhere in Africa, you know, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, among some of the countries. I think they could have waited for this situation to play out and then, you know, see either way. For them to be, I wouldn't put it past them in terms of being influencers, but I don't think they were key orchestrators of what happened in November, if that makes sense.
Fair enough.
But again, you never know.
I can see. Although one, just from an understanding of how the Chinese state works, they have no minnows. They have such a large bureaucracy that there's extensive deep knowledge on all their operations, to the point where you compare it with somewhere like America right now. America doesn't have anyone with real expertise on the Africa desk or on the Zimbabwe desk, for lack of a better word, in the State Department, to a point that they don't actually have the institutional knowledge at this moment in time, because Trump and particularly Rex Tillerson didn't make those type of appointments of people who know. Whereas that's a situation that never happens in China, is there's always someone who knows quite well what's going on in their places, in their areas.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But is knowing directly related to then having a hand in what then happens there.
Yeah, that's a different conversation. And seeing as the speculation and the coup has already happened, I don't think it's going to benefit anyone continuing into it.
That's true. All I know is they're happy that Mdara Bob is gone. That much.
As are we.
Yeah. Nikayese Rufara.
Cool. Sorry. I know we didn't plan for this. I just wanted to laugh with you about the fact that Grace is crying about her farm being invaded.
Yeah, well, she's what goes around comes around. That's basically
by gold panners, nonetheless.
Which is interesting. I mean, though, to be fair, I mean, Grace aside, the Grace issue aside, you know, that's ridiculousness. Yeah, Grace, and hypocrisy. But the issue of gold panning, especially in certain areas, I think this is something that we need to get under control. Because there are areas, you know, land degradation is an issue. So it's issues of conservatism, I think. Conservationalism.
That one.
Conservationalism that needs to be tackled. So, you know, while, you know, Grace can cry foul, there we mustn't overlook certain issues of panels. And it's around the country. And I think that this is something that the Minister of Environment and the Minister of Mining need to pay attention to.
Yes.
Grace must go join her sons in oh, she's not allowed.
In Joburg.
She's not allowed.
Oh yeah. She's got a pending.
Anima pending. Igogo. Well, I don't know. Where's Bona?
Hey, I don't know. Bona's at home at her house. She's got a very nice house in Harare there. Let her do her thing.
She must go
unplugged one day.
Isn't
Mkwasha
actually? That's the question. Where is Mkwasha?
Mkwasha resigned the day of the coup from Air Zim and he dipped. Mbaon didn't want anything to do with it.
Mkwasha R.E.P. Hey, by the way, we were looking for Lulu. Lulu's back.
He's back?
Yeah, Lulu's back. He was ranting and raving all sorts of nonsense on Facebook.
So what is he still quite ED? You're gonna end up watching me.
No, he's still quite ED. Okay, he was trying to justify ED's 100 days in office, and he was talking about, man, he was making all sorts of nonsense claims. Hansi, I'm happy that the fact that he's turning up to work every day, that was one of the positives, which is, anyway, Lulu was going crazy. But he's back. If you're, I think he's still going to try and get into ZANU-PF. I wonder if he'll run, actually.
Yeah. I guess so. There's every possibility of doing that. But didn't he say before he left that he was more interested in the business side of things now and not necessarily politics anymore?
What business? Anombeite naturally, Lulu.
I mean, but anzanga futhi
ninyenze ku. That's true.
It's a business.
Apparently, he sold
so I guess
$8,000 or something like that.
I guess you can't be stealing $8,000, bro. It's not a lot. It's not in the new dispensation, bro. You can't.
Actually, he was talking about the externalizers, and then he even mentioned himself, and he says, "Ah, nyango ini ndakambo bao mari."
But yeah, look, man, we might get him on Skype if he's actually. Let's get him online.
Yeah, let's try get him. Lulu anonakiza. Yes, on to
talking about running. Actually, we mentioned my primaries. MDC's apparently having primaries now.
Yeah. It's interesting. I wonder how it's going to work. Is the alliance itself having primaries, or is it just going to be MDC having primaries?
MDC candidates and MDC is having primaries.
So is this for just the seats that they are going to be running in, or is it for?
I think it's just for the seats that they're going to be running in. Apparently, at this moment, things seem very fluid.
Okay, which is, you know, that's
but Yeah, it's I guess it's a good thing.
Well, you know,
it's just that they've gone after my favorite MP. I'm heartbroken.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering why they would, why people would want to challenge Jesse Majome, actually. I mean, there's nothing, obviously, it is the democratic thing to do and, you know, democracy and constitutionalism and blah, 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 yada, yada, all of that. But why her? Like, you know, I suppose if you live in the constituency, maybe, but, you know, it's, I don't know, there's something fishy. There's just something not adding up for me on that issue.
Yeah, it's like, let's say this Joanne Rumamombe lady is the generational consensus or the youth candidate that they've decided to put out there first. I don't understand why her over some of the other kadis, over some of the other guys who have been more vocal, in my understanding. And secondly, I think Jessie is a choice because she is respected. She'll be a big scalp, but she's also the most likely to fight fair and not lead to a split of any sort. I mean, I'm happy with the challenge, and I'm sure Jesse will walk away with it. I just am interested to see who else is being challenged, because apparently this announcement was early, but there are going to be a lot more challenges, and no one is safe, so to speak, which is great.
Listen, in terms of, you know, getting right people into places and, you know, especially younger people as well into parliament, it's all great. And, you know, we encourage those things. But you also want to have your strongest people, you know, you want your strongest people to be strong, and you want them to be in this space. Who, I wonder, you know, who is backing Joanna? In terms of MDC leadership, I can understand the youth, it coming from the youth, but there must be some part of the leadership.
The youth is the leadership at the moment. if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay, I do hear you.
Kuti, I think she does have these guys have backing, and I'm looking forward to it. I think what I was afraid with the MDC going into this election was that there's going to be no young MP candidates, but now it seems like there might be quite a few, particularly in the strongholds, so to speak. So I think Panenyaya.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how these primaries are going to be conducted, and what happens after the primaries. Because, you know, if some cadres are ousted and feel bitter about it, there is a breakaway MDC that they can, you know, go and join on the coupe side of things. There are also other political parties, 111 political parties. Obviously, they won't go to any of those smaller ones, but there's other coalitions, the Rainbow. It's the Rainbow Coalition, isn't it?
I don't know. I've now decided that for the purposes of this podcast and for my own life, I will only speak of the two major players.
No, but the thing is,
Chiro, even that good Samaritan, that Jehovah's Witness that's going around meeting individuals one by one. Wow. I'm not speaking about him either.
Wow, shame on you. Speaking about him, I don't know if you saw him.
You couldn't go a whole podcast without saying wow.
You people slanderous. Speaking of Nkosana, before we go back to this primary situation, he looked quite lost in some of the videos I saw at the at the Harare Gardens launch of Povo. And I
didn't know it's possible to have more than five people in one place at a time. I think that concept is lost on him.
But yeah, I think he should go. I can't even say go in court.
Kumba and enjoy his money, man.
But he's got a party. Sense. He's not an independent. Yeah, anyway.
He's got a party. Where? Where?
Abba.
Where?
Abba.
No, man, he's got so much money in Gaende.
We need to stop making jokes about politicians. Actually, we don't.
Back to primaries.
So with the MDC, I think they need to be very strategic about how they go about it. Primaries are obviously very useful, but not every candidate needs to be challenged. And this is just by the simple fact that you want to keep your strongest players on the field. That's it. So and also it's about looking where people can contribute. I saw Magaisa did raise the issue of the proportional representation seats. I'm still confused about what those seats are there to do. Obviously, there is the gender equality issue, which I think that's why they were put there. But again, if you are really about gender equality, you just field an even number of male and female candidates. But you know,
I don't know why Comrade Wamba Diwamba is reluctant to do something like that. To be fair, I think that will be well received. And yeah, just say good day. We're looking to have our MP candidates having 50-50.
Do you think JC could be a vice president?
I hope so. That's what other people are pushing for, to become a senator and vice president. But she, look, it's very fluid, I think is the best way to describe it at the moment. And I think that what's going to happen is that the primaries are going to be voted on by card-carrying party members, and cards have started being sold again. So what it means is that Kanawine Wanu right now, or if you have the ability to buy cards, you may be looking to start buying cards now. So for me, that's a weakness in the process, is the how the delegates are going to be chosen and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
Paninyaya coming up. So I'm hoping it's not messy. But on the other hand, I'm hoping that we get...
Aren't candidates also supposed to pay to...
Yeah, no, it's sitting MPs are very angry at Nelson, because I remember mentioning this, I think maybe a few months ago, when I was saying that candidates are going to have to pay to submit their CVs. I was actually wrong. I had said that to challenge a sitting MP, you had to pay $1,000. What actually is a sitting MP had to resubmit their CVs and had to pay $1,000 to have their CV submitted. So basically, I was thinking that they were protecting sitting MPs, whereas they're actually doing the opposite. They're coming after sitting MPs, which, you know, I think is a positive in a lot of ways, but it also can be quite destabilizing, given there's already been one split in that Coupe has gone. My Coupe has gone. So it's
interesting times ahead.
But I think it's one of those things that you know, man, I'm just angry at for example, like Bettina saying that how can Nelson be looking to subject his MPs to a process that he didn't go through himself. He was voted in by the National Council, who are card-carrying members. first of all, and secondly, how come you're calling for primaries this whole time, but now that it's your fave that's being attacked, you're saying no, it's a bad thing. People
are hypocrites. Let's
intellectual dishonesty from people who we should know better from. Even Alex Magai said the same thing about we need to protect our strongest players on the board and things like that. And as much as I love Jesse and I have love for Jesse, no one was born an MP. No one became a strong player on the board.
No. So here's my thing. I have nothing wrong with primaries, but I think you also have to look at it in terms of, you know, what you're up against and what you're hoping to achieve overall as a party. I mean, if they're pushing this generational consensus message and it's a restructuring of the entire MDC, then you know what? Go for it. Because, you know, this is the new ideology that you're setting and the new path that you're charting. But I think it must be consistent and it must be genuine in terms of what your intentions are and what you want to achieve overall. You know, if it's challenging certain people, if it's playing internal party politics, then it can be disastrous. And as you said, there's already been a split in Coupe, and the MDC, especially that it's going to be an alliance with other political parties. I mean, you also have to balance the PDPs, what's Transform Zimbabwe, all of these other parties. You need to balance them in this arrangement. And if your people are disgruntled, it causes the party to have fissures. And you don't want that at this stage, because this is going to be an unprecedented election. So you really want to go in with the strongest possible team that you can have. If this was something happening, you know, in a regular
4 years, if it happened 3 years ago, actually, exactly. Not even now.
Yeah, three certain years ago, where you know that, you know, we're getting changes, young upcoming people are challenging, then I can see. But 3 months before the election, this is something that could potentially, affect the party negatively. So you really have to manage that situation, which is why I think, again, there's nothing wrong with primaries and there's nothing wrong with, you know, young people challenging this. Everything is correct there. But the processes just need to be clear, fair, and ones that everyone going into can agree on, because you want everyone coming out to still be on the same side.
Yeah, no, you're definitely at the, that's right. And just... if you can't win a primary election as a politician, then
by the way, also
at the end of the day, that's your job.
this is also another thing, and this applies across the board. If you have an interest in the candidates that should be running and you live in a certain area, go and join that party and, you know, vote in the primary election and influence.
People are saying, I'm not a member of MDC, whatever. Dude, a party card is $5. Pay your $5, man, and vote.
Yeah, vote. And then vote in
the primary. It's not like you have to go, once you become a member, you have to go to every single rally or anything. You can just go and vote Kawaninga. And maybe, you know, you never know, in 5-6 years' time, you might want to run for MP, and you can just say, look, I've been a party since 2018.
That's exactly it. So, and I think this is something that people need to start doing, is actually there's many ways to be involved and influence political decisions. And this applies across the board. It goes down to councillors as well. You know, people complain about the quality of councillors that they are. Go into the parties, join them and see. We want, especially if you know, you are likely to vote MDC or likely to vote ZANU or whatever it is, then get involved and influence which candidates, you know, come about. If you've been there long enough and you feel that you've got the knack for it, then do it. If you really, honestly and truly don't want to, there's a coalition of independents waiting, maybe not waiting for you to join them, depending on where you live. But, you know, you can join that party as well.
You're right. It really comes full circle. These coalition of independents are joining hands to start their own thing. But have they ever been members of parties and try to influence parties from within? Because particularly if you see at that age group, these are the 40-year-olds. These are, and I think Pastor Evan is 40. These and those other guys are at least the core group are in their, you know, mid to late 30s. If they had joined in their 20s, maybe the MDC would be a very different party. Maybe ZANU would be a very different party. But, you know, certain people, a certain generation, particularly including ours, has very often been very too good for party politics or too good for politics in general until it came to a crunch time and people's lives are being affected. And now we're belatedly trying to get into the game.
That's true. You know, and the thing about party politics is you don't always have to agree with everything that the party says or does, but you can still be part of the processes to try and make that better. I don't know if that makes sense.
Guys complain about Magadenbwe, and I hate that you know. That online trend, or you could hear these MDC picked select garden boys, or we have people without all levels as counselors, and there should be a minimum education requirement. No, the only requirement is you should be active in your community and should be willing to take part. And at whatever time that people were being voted in, the people that were taking part were the people who were already suffering from in an extreme way from misrule, and that's where you saw. People that don't live in Mount Pleasant, people that don't live in the big houses in these neighborhoods, whether it's Ifield or Glenora or anywhere, being the first to take part.
And that's it. But, you know, again, if it all doesn't work out for you, you can go it alone, as some people have chosen to do, and we'll see how that works out. But I think we can wrap up there. Please do...
Yeah.
Like us on Facebook, Politics and Beyond. Follow us on Twitter, Poly and Beyond ZW. Share your thoughts with us. We're very interested to hear what it is you have to say, especially about the new political outfit, I will call it. I'll nyara them at the end of this podcast.
As Povo, are you represented by Povo? Do they have your interest in that?
Sorry, did you see the someone sharing the Povo logo and saying that it kind of looks like the Global Shapers logo?
Oh, does it? That's awkward.
I'll send you the, if I can find it.
Like the EU. They're getting money from the EU.
It's all sorts of conspiracies that people are coming up with. I also heard another one that Shingi Mnyasa could be one of the backers.
He talks so much, he's just running himself.
But it could be. As far as I understand, he was part of a team that was... Wasn't he part of the team, Nana Pastor Ivan as well, who was supposed to launch with Nkosana?
Yeah, and Trevor Ncube as well.
And Trevor Ncube as well, yes. You know what? I actually want...
And they had banded him.
To be fair, I actually want someone to investigate this whole... After the elections, this whole upper situation, because... You know,
because I remember when Kosana was coming, remember when we first had him on the show, there were lots of people who were talking and walking with him then.
Yes.
But I suppose the new dispensation changed and things are on the ground.
No, but also I think he also moved his own way without them. I think he also snaked them. But anyway, those are rumors and speculation. We'll try to do some digging and some investigation and see what we can find. But yeah, follow us on our social media platforms. Thanks for listening. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
And now. Capital 263.